Hour two of the show now underway. This is the fourth period live on NHL Network Radio. Dave Pignota here, Dennis Bernstein in Bridgestone Arena, getting ready for the Stanley Cup Final tonight. 8 o'clock Eastern, Game 6, Pittsburgh, Nashville. Bring it. It's coming.
The fans are still on in here.
And, I don't think, has anyone slept in Nashville in the last like 2 weeks?
No, because you got the CMA Fan Fest going on.
Oh, right.
Right now downtown, so downtown's closed out. I parked in the Music City Center parking lot early because, going to be a little bit of walking, maybe just hanging out in the press room until Luke Bryan will be available prior to his performance before Game 6 on NBC. He'll be taking questions at 4:30 Eastern or 4:30 local time.
And Luke Bryan will also be performing four songs that you'll be able to watch on NHL.com if you want to check that out. And then he will be doing his live performance to open up Game 6 from Tootsie's, which is fantastic.
Yeah, what a way to close the show, right?
Yeah.
They know how to close the show in Nashville for sure, so it's been great. And Dave, they even sent me a postcard.
That's lovely.
Yeah, I took a picture. I tweeted it.
And welcome to Nashville.
Thanks for visiting Nashville. We hope you enjoyed the Southern hospitality. Sign the Preds.
That's
what great guys
they are. Don't sway your decision. You picked Pittsburgh in sixth. Maybe they don't know that.
All they need to do is make PK available to the media, Dave. And that'd be perfect. Geez.
We'll talk more about the Preds and you did. That was a nice one. And the Pens later on in the program. But right now we're going to continue with the offseason discussion and going on surrounding the expansion draft. Steve Karp of the Las Vegas Review Journal now joining us. Steve, how you doing?
Fine, fellas. I can't believe this might be the last day of hockey until September.
Well, it could very well be. You got a pick in this one? What do you think's happening tonight?
I'm leaning toward Pittsburgh closing it out. That was some shellacking they put on Nashville on the other night, and I'm not so sure they're going to be able to bounce back, although history says they will. But I think Pittsburgh's pedigree and their experience probably gets them home tonight, and it ends in no hockey until September.
No, but still going to be plenty of talk throughout the offseason and everything going on, just like the craziness that's happening right now. It'll certainly die down in August, but right now it's wild. And you must be busier than anybody at this stage trying to figure out what's happening with the Golden Knights, their expansion draft plans. Can you give us some insight as to now that we're well into June and 10 days away from Vegas announcing their selections? A little bit of insight into where they might be going, what direction they might be going at this point.
Well, a week ago, George McPhee told us all in Buffalo at the scouting combine that a couple of deals were imminent. We're a week later, and so far no deals have been made, which I find hard to believe.
Right.
But there's no question he has talked to virtually every NHL team at one point or another about either not taking a guy or taking a guy and trying to get some assets along with it. So I think for him, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to kind of stockpile some draft picks for down the road, not necessarily for this year, but for 18, for 19, even 20. I think his vision is to build this team through the entry draft, not the expansion draft.
And with some of the potential moves, that because obviously it sounds like the mentality from McPhee and the management isn't to win a Stanley Cup in the first year. They obviously want to be competitive and have the longevity of being a successful team by exactly what you said, utilizing the draft and bringing the young players in. But at the same time, still putting on a competitive product on the ice to a certain extent, to the best of their abilities at this stage. Now, some of the presumed deals that we've been hearing, you take one in Chicago, Marcus Kruger potentially being traded there so that they can pick Trevor Van Riemsdyk and all these kinds of moves. Do you anticipate, if there are going to be trades of that magnitude, do you expect there to be a multitude of that, bringing in additional current NHL quality players? Or could it be potentially something along the lines of adding in some bigger contracts in exchange for some additional assets, like a first-round pick to take David Clarkson from Columbus, for example.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a mix of that because a lot of teams want to unload their bad contracts on Vegas. And George said he's willing to take on some bad money at a price, though. You know, that price being obviously high draft picks, not, you know, a third or a fourth, but a first or a second. You know, there's been some rumors about L.A. maybe selling Vegas if they take Dustin Brown and his $40 million. They'll throw in the number one.
Right.
So, yeah, I do think you're going to see a couple of those. I also think you might see a free agent or two signed in that 72-hour window. I think guys, well, here's the thing. You know, for guys who are okay with either they've won a Stanley Cup or they've never even come close to sniffing it, and they're in a situation, you know, especially if you're a Canadian guy, although I think you get paid in U.S. anyway, if you're a Canadian, if you play for one of the seven Canadian teams.
Mm-hmm.
The weather here, the fact there's no income tax in Nevada, the facilities are going to be unbelievable for them to play and practice in. If I'm an agent, I'm telling my guy to take a look at least. And I think you might see one or two guys decide, you know what, this isn't all that bad a place, especially if they know or have a relationship with Gerard Gallant and his staff. You might see a guy or two agree to a free agent deal to play for the Golden Knights.
Steve, off the bat, you know, the team was granted the franchise. They had that announcement of the name outside the arena, all this pomp and circumstance. You know, what's going on? Is there still excitement about the franchise coming in at this point in time? I know it's June. We're a couple months away from opening night. But where does this team stand on the sports horizon right now in Vegas?
Well, it was number one until the Raiders decided to move.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the Golden Knights kind of took a little back seat to the Raiders. Obviously, look, football's king. We all understand it here in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Betting on the NFL is a huge part of the gambling scene. And having your own NFL team here, there's only 32 of them. And I think it is taking away a little bit of the excitement. But if you're one of the 14,000 season ticket holders, if you're just a hockey fan, if this is your team, you kind of get excited about the 21st and then again on the 23rd and 24th, you know, between the expansion and the entry drafts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot going on here with this team. And obviously all the subsequent moves and trades that may happen after the drafts. You know, and then, of course, we have the regular free agency period on July 1. So if they don't sign anybody in the 72-hour window, that doesn't mean they won't sign a guy after July 1. So sure. There's a lot going on here, and I think, you know, it ebbs and flows in terms of the excitement. I think you're going to see a pickup in the next 10 days.
Steve, you've been in Vegas for a while writing. Are you still shocked there's going to be a hockey team playing in there in October?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm even more shocked that I'm the guy covering it.
Right.
You know, anyone knows my history in Vegas, you know, I was covering UNLV basketball forever. And then for the last 9 or 10 years, I've been covering boxing. You know, so I was dealing with Pacquiao and Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez and those guys. And now I'm going to be covering guys who occasionally fight.
Right.
But are obviously more skilled at skating and passing and shooting and checking. It is a little bit surreal still to think that Las Vegas has its own NHL team, but you know what? Bill Foley put his money up, $500 million. That's a lot of pucks, and I think, you know, they've hired a great. I mean, if you look at it objectively, and if you know the game, this hockey operations staff they put together with George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon leading the way is, you know, you can put them up against any team's hockey ops staff in the league. I really, and I'll include Chicago or Pittsburgh or, you know, any of the top, you know, Nashville with David Poile, I'll put them up against anybody. These guys really know their stuff. They've been going at it since August. would have been scouting junior players, and of course throughout the whole NHL season. So these guys are on top of their game, and they're going to meet one more time this week, go through one more mock draft, an expansion draft, and of course on a week from today, the fun starts.
Yeah, and part of that fun, a lot of people are speculating over Vegas taking like 20 goalies in this expansion draft. What do you think is realistic for them? I mean, obviously they're gonna try to, you know, select a few players, and I think Philip Grubauer out of Washington could be a great selection for them, potentially their number one. But there's the talk of Marc-Andre Fleury. There's Semyon Varlamov out of Colorado. What do you think is realistically going to happen for them in terms of the goalies that are available?
I think you're going to see them take at least four,
right?
Maybe even a fifth. Now Fleury still has to waive his no move, doesn't he? For him to be exposed. So
yeah,
but they have
that's
to
right.
goalies. So you know, here you are. You're right in the middle of the Cup Finals. And you're asking the guy who has been very good for you, you know, through the years to basically, you know, end his career in Pittsburgh for a shot at maybe moving to Vegas. So I think maybe the handwriting's on the wall, and I guess we'll know tomorrow if he decided to waive his no move. So, yeah, but I think, you know, goalies are a real asset in this league, and if you have an extra one, they become very valuable in terms of trades and stuff. So, yeah, I think you're going to see them take more than the three required.
Could they go in the direction of, like, for example, Malcolm Subban out of Boston to help house? I mean, he could potentially be a backup in the National Hockey League, but maybe go in the direction to kind of, you know, build up the AHL side of things and have a team out for, you know, Chicago that's represented well by a number of their potential, you know, quote-unquote prospects.
Well, you know, the Chicago thing is interesting. When they cut the deal, they promised Don Levin, the owner of the Wolves, that they would make sure that they had a competitive team. You know, they just signed Rocky Thompson to be the coach.
Yep.
And Rocky's coming off a great run with the Windsor Spitfires when he won the Memorial Cup. So, and I think, you know, Rocky was telling me the other day that they're definitely playing to win. This isn't just about helping out George and the Knights, you know, get guys NHL ready. But they expect Chicago to be competitive. So, absolutely, I can see them taking a goalie in the expansion draft and basically putting him out there in Chicago, let that person be the guy and have him ready in case one of the guys in Vegas gets injured or falters. Because let's be honest, guys. Whoever's in net for Vegas is going to see a lot of rubber his way.
Yeah.
How good the D is. You know, I don't care how willing the forwards are to come back, you know, and help out. They're going to see a hell of a lot of rubber.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I think Gallant's going to want to share the load. He's not going to make one guy play 70 sure. games and let, you know, the other guy occasionally get in once every 3 weeks. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, Marcus Kruger is a good two-way forward, two-way centerman, but they're going to need a little bit more of him to kind of bail out the goalies.
Well, you know the guy who I'm excited to watch play for this team is Shimakov.
Right.
Shimakov, yes.
The kid from Russia, from St. Petersburg, who if you watch him play the World Championships, did a really good job for Russia. And I know it's not the same as playing against, you know, Crosby and Malkin and McDavid and all the top NHL guys night after night, but I thought he acquitted himself very well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's obviously going to be either first or second line center for Vegas, depending who they can pair him with. And I think that kid could really create some excitement here and add some offense.
It's going to be an exciting 10 days leading up to the expansion draft. The selections get announced on the 21st. The lists have to be submitted by the 18th. It's going to be, the storylines are going to be endless. That's going to say the least, happening with the Vegas Golden Knights. And then you got the draft on top of everything with the Knights picking sixth overall. You're going to be a busy man, sir, even more so than you already are.
I am. And, you know, we've already had a couple of meetings. We're going to have a special wraparound section for the day after the expansion draft to reveal who these 30 guys are that they picked. Now, obviously not all 30 are going to play here.
Right.
But and then I'm on a plane to Chicago the next morning for the entry draft, and you know, we'll see if he keeps his pick at six, because that's where he could get a some offense. You know, whether it's Cody Glass or Gabe Velarde or Michael Rasmussen or Martin Nakes, you know. Or you know what? And crazier things have happened. What if Nolan Patrick were to drop? What if, you know, Jersey takes Nico Hischier, Philly says, nah, we need defense, and they go for the finished kid. Then all of a sudden, this kid's dropping like a stone. You know, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's going to be you know, Brady Quinn hanging out in the green room by himself.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, remember, he didn't even interview with Vegas because they know him so well.
Right.
Because, you know, Kelly McCrimmon and him have that long history together with Brandon. So, I mean, weird things are going to happen at this draft, I think, in Chicago that none of us saw coming. And maybe this might be one of those weird things. But I think he's going to stay at six unless he knows the guy he could get is down at 10 or 11 and Florida and L.A. want to trade up and offer up a couple of ones and twos, you know, which he should definitely look at. He'd be stupid not to.
Right.
But he told me usually when they've got to pick this high, they keep it where it is. So let's see what, you know, we'll see how truthful he is. And, you know, he's been pretty forthright, but at the same time, like I said, he keeps his cards close to the best.
Yeah, he's usually on point with a lot of it, but exactly right. You know, especially at this time. You know, he's got to build a team straight from the expansion draft and then the draft. This is going to be really exciting, and we will see you at the expansion draft and at the NHL draft. Both Dennis and I will be there as well. Steve, really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Look forward to seeing you here.
That is Steve Karp of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, probably one of the busiest media guys in the National Hockey League right now, trying to figure out what's happening with the Knights as they got to build that team. And, you know, put somebody out on the edge. The movement that's going to happen there, DB, is just
unprecedented.
Yeah,
I keep using that word over and over. Unprecedented.
Because it really is.
It's exciting. It's great.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Everyone's so excited now.
Game six action and expansion draft and trades and all kinds of hoopla.
And it's June. Yes.
It's nice out.
All this excitement in June. Beautiful.
Love it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Dallas Stars with Mike Hajka of the Dallas Morning News. Are they going to trade that third overall pick? Yeah, we'll find out. This is the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio.
So gonna get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami.
Back at you, it's the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. I'm Dave, that's Dennis. 8 o'clock Eastern, Game 6, Pittsburgh, Nashville at Bridgestone. Just, I can't contain.
The band's doing a sound check now.
Are they?
You know, have that band behind one of the goals there.
Yeah.
Zamboni entrance, yeah.
They got the little sound check thing going on.
Sound check going on.
Luke Bryan's performing.
So if I offer you Dustin Brown and the first round pick from Los Angeles, do you take it if you're McPhee?
For the 11th overall pick, absolutely.
Okay. That's that.
I don't think Rob Blake's going to do that.
No, they can't. They really can't, Dave.
No, they
can't.
To
be honest with you, they can't. They need to start holding on to their first round picks and although they'll be busy. They're going to make one trade, Dave. I'm telling you. They're going to make a trade of consequence here.
Yeah.
In the next 2 weeks.
It certainly looks like it. And if
Jonathan Drouin.
I was going to say, if the talks have continued to percolate and escalate a little bit between Tampa Bay, we may see something there. But a team that we could see a lot of activity as well coming
this
from.
The
Dallas Stars, the third overall pick. We'll see what's going to happen there. Mike Hajka now joining us at the Dallas Morning News. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Good. Just we're pretty jacked. There's game six. There's all this expansion talk. There's all these trade speculation. This is going to be a busy 10 to 14 days here leading up to expansion and the NHL draft. And the Dallas Stars seem to be at the center of some of it here with that third overall pick and all these question marks as to what they're going to do with it. Do you have a latest on what's going on as we dive right into things here?
Well, I think what Jim Mill's trying to do is keep every option open.
He has some needs, obviously, and he has some leverage, I guess you'd call it, because he's got the third, the 29th, and the 39th pick. So, you know, even if he loses the third, still got the 29th pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's in a good spot. Or if he wants to package it all and make some really big deals, he can do that.
It seems like the blue line is a focal point for the Stars and for Nil at this point. Would you agree? Is that maybe priority number one for him, is shoring up the back end?
Well, it's fine. I think it's one blue line. Talking to Ken Hitchcock, he likes the people they have in-house.
Right.
Julius Honka, Esa Lindell, John Klingberg, Dan Hamhuis. I mean, you're talking four right there. Then you go sort through Jamie Oleksiak, Stephen Johns, Patrick Nemeth. And so there's opportunity there for Ken and his coaching staff to turn those guys into better defensemen. And so I think that's what his plan is. And then, you know, that need one guy.
Mike, you mentioned Ken Hitchcock. Were you surprised they hired Ken Hitchcock?
No. He's been their number one, I think, from the start. For two reasons. One, he wants a job. I think he made it clear to Jim Nill and to ownership that he wanted a job. So I think his contract is very workable in a time when coaches' contracts are, you know, doubling in a single off season. His is workable. Two, he does he coaches defense. They think they need to improve as a team defensively. And three, Jim Nill wanted a veteran coach. He doesn't want to go, you know, rebuild or any of that kind of stuff. He thinks the pieces are in place. This is his fifth year there. He wants to win now.
How big of a player do you think they'll be in free agency?
Not much, I don't think. They do need some help at the forward spots. But because they have these draft picks and because the expansion draft is, I think, creating a trading, I'm just guessing here, that they're going to get better value in trades than they will in free agency. Now, that doesn't mean down the line, you know, if we're on July 4th or 5th, they might be there. But I just get the feeling that they're very hesitant to spend that kind of money right now.
And do you think Patrick Eaves is a possibility to come back there?
No, I don't think Eaves is. I think Hemsky or Sharp could be. Because they do need some skilled forwards. One, I think Patrick really enjoyed his time in Anaheim. I think Anaheim will probably be interested in getting him back. Mm-hmm. Two, he upped his value in, with that little run and 30 goals. And so I think what Dallas is looking at, they're going to – Jamie Benn's cap hit goes to 9.5 this year. His salary goes to 13.
Wow.
Tyler Seguin's 2 years away from big money. So they have to be a little bit smart with how they do these things. So I think what they're really hoping for is Val Nichushkin comes back from KHL.
Mm-hmm.
And if Yanmark comes back from injury, and that solves a lot of their problems up there. If either or both doesn't, then I think you look at Alex Hemsky, you look at Patrick Sharp, and then you start looking at free agents. You know, I keep throwing Oshie out there. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. And then, you know, the other one I think is Patrick Marleau would be a guy I think they would like to at least talk to. And then, you know, that's their one winger, I think. And if both Nichushkin and Yanmark are ready to go, then maybe they don't even get one of those guys. Maybe it's just Hemsky and trust the kids.
Is there a health update or health status update on Patrick Sharp because we know he was dealing with a couple injuries towards the end of the season, will he be ready to go for the start of the year?
I think for the start of the year he'll be slow and he'll have some transition. He had that hip surgery that all these guys in Dallas have had.
Yeah,
Dave Benz had it. Val Nichushkin's had it. John Klingberg's had it. He had the same thing and they shut him down early. It was either late. So on that, would say that he'll probably be skating in about August or so and probably be ready for camp in September, but he'd be a slow starter and it'd be how he'd adjust to it. And then all of that ties into the fact he's an unrestricted free agent. So he might be one of those guys who doesn't sign until August And he might be a guy who's only focused on a couple of teams like Chicago and Dallas.
And finally, Mike, the goaltending situation obviously solidified with Ben Bishop entering the equation. But do you have a sense of what how the future might play out for either Antti Niemi or Kari Lehtinen at this stage?
Yeah, Jim Neal said he hadn't made a choice yet. I disagree. I think he has.
Okay.
I think he's keeping his options open. Like if indeed Vegas wanted to take Kari Lehtinen, then he would adjust and do whatever he had to do in that regard. But I think he's very much focused on Kari Lehtinen as the backup goalie. It's expensive, but it's, you know, it's a good solution for one. Ben Bishop has gotten injured in the past. And two, they would like to keep Bishop's load at like 50 games. They're very much, Ken did it in St. Louis, Ken Hitchcock did it in St. Louis for the past couple of years. They believe in it. Now, I'm not sure I believe in it, but they have to have two goals. And the great thing about it, he actually has been a really good regular season goalie. His numbers are actually pretty good over the last 5 years as a regular season goalie. His big, you know, his big burden is he has not been able to step up in the playoffs.
Right.
Well, if you have a Kari Lehtinen who can play 30 games, 35 games in the regular season and do a pretty good job at it, then you're going to have a fresher Ben Bishop for the playoffs, and you're going to have a safety net if Ben Bishop gets hurt. So right now, I believe their focus is Bishop and Lehtinen, and they'll deal with whatever money costs they have to for 1 year.
Lots going on in the National Hockey League outside of Game 6 tonight. The Dallas Stars certainly in the center of everything with the third overall pick. The possibilities there. What happens with Antti Niemi? You can keep your eyes on the Dallas Stars. Check out Mike Hajka on Twitter and, of course, with the Dallas Morning News. Mike, really appreciate taking the time to join us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Pleasure, and we'll certainly see you at the draft. And we're going to be keeping close tabs on everything DB as to what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's a man. There's so much. There is so much going on, and I'm excited.
I think a lot of holes to fill, though, there in Dallas, Dave.
Yeah, they do. There's a few. I mean, they got the goaltending thing done, which they've been trying to do for some time.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree. I think you give
it's
Ben Bishop.
It's a rough division.
I know.
Holes on defense. Sagan's a free agent in two seasons.
Oh, come on. Here we go.
He's in the sweet. He's making $5.75, Dave, on a sweetheart deal.
He'll be making quite more than that on his next contract. Yeah. That's for sure. And he loves it out in Dallas. So that would be it would take a lot for him to kind of change unless they come at him and say we'll give you six and that's it, because this guy's getting 8+ on his next contract. There's no question.
He's got a different type of coach now, Dave, though.
we'll see how he responds.
Not one of those new age 45-year-old coaches, Dave.
Well, you got to accommodate to your stars sometimes.
Yeah, you do. Not that coach though.
Yeah. Well, that's also
true. Ask Jake Allen.
We'll see what happens there with the Stars as things progress. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll shift back a little bit to the Stanley Cup Final. Pete Weber, the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, will join us. That's Dennis. I'm Dave. This is The Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. It is The Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. Dennis and Dave here at you.
I don't know about you, but I am out of my head, Dave.
You sure, you've been in Nashville for just a little bit, and I imagine everybody...
I behave myself. I'm saving it for Vegas and Chicago.
Yeah, me too.
But when you're only in town for 24 hours, there's almost so much damage you can do in Nashville.
Yeah, I got a 10-day trip coming up between Vegas and Chicago. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Sean McKenzie on earlier on the program has been in Nashville for 2 weeks. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's having a...
the biscuits with the molasses butter and the whole thing.
Oh, everything's happening.
I told him, I said, he probably has to adjust his belt 2 notches on the way home.
Right.
The food and the booze. It's great.
Yeah, that'll be us as well after...
Southern hospitality, Dave!
You got to love it. you got to love it. And the fans there continuously embracing everything. It's absolute pandemonium in Nashville, has been throughout these playoffs. I can only imagine what's going to happen here for game six tonight at Bridgestone. Play-by-play voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, a good pal, joining us here on the program. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastically well. It's taken a few years for me to reach the Stanley Cup final, and I'm really drinking it all in. Not exactly, Dennis, like you're talking about our fellow reporter.
So, Dave, Pete's ready. Pete, you did your laundry, right, for Pittsburgh, so you intend to get on that plane after tomorrow morning, right?
Matter of fact, as I'm just a few blocks from my house right now, I intend to get the things out of the dryer that I put in there this morning before coming down for the morning skate. So, precisely.
A confident Pete Weber for Game 7. Here we go.
So we've got to get – you're packed up, ready to go. How do you – obviously – you're anticipating Nashville coming back, tying up the series. But how do you anticipate the pace of play coming into this game that begins here at 8 o'clock Eastern?
I think it's the high intensity. So I really do. Dave, this is the way things have been going. Succeeds. It's a high tempo, very high tempo. That's what Peter was talking about with me this morning. That's what he wants to see. I know he has a very special way of conveying that to his team. I think that they will accept that and try to implement it.
We've been touching on this throughout portions of the show, but the potential loss of Ryan Ellis, if he's not in the lineup, how does that affect their game plan heading into tonight?
Well, if he is not in the lineup, then Matt Irwin will be with Roman Josi. Mm-hmm. And either Anthony Boteto or Brad Hunt, who has played only three games with the Predators since his mid-January acquisition from the St. Louis Blues organization, will be in there, or perhaps both. They might, if they don't have Ryan Ellis, go with 7D. But I don't see that necessarily happening. I actually anticipate that Ryan Ellis, all the things I've seen him go through this year, it would have to be a monumental situation for him not to be in there.
And for Predators, I mean, who cares if the guy only played three games? I mean, you get Goudreau played nine.
Yeah.
He's a star now, so this team just acclimates
itself.
So, Pete, can you explain the disparity between Pekka Rinne's play in Pittsburgh and in Nashville? Or is it just something that it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing where it's really hard to explain?
I cannot, and I think it's one of those illogical things. I will lay it off to some historical similarity. The absolute aversion that Jacques Blanc had to playing at Maple Leaf Gardens. And he hated playing there. Terry Crisp, my longtime broadcast partner here, used to tell the stories about when they were together with the St. Louis Blues, Scotty Bowman would allow Jacques Blanc to pick what games he wanted to play. Glenn Hall would get the balance of those, and Glenn Hall always played in Maple Leaf Gardens. Mm-hmm. So the Predators don't have Glenn Hall to take with them to Pittsburgh, so we'll have to see how that might work out. But Pekka's been a big bounce-back guy his entire career.
Pete, is there anything they can do to minimize the effect that Sidney Crosby has on this game tonight?
Yeah, keep the puck in front of him. Don't let him get behind. Like that great pass up the middle the other night. Here, when the breakaway pass down the middle that Dumoulin threw to him. And then we rely upon our colleague on the Finnish broadcast to go absolutely berserk when Pekka makes a sequence of free plays.
That was great.
He comes back in the second time. That was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was something else. I think Pekka even got a laugh out of that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And but Pekka is the sort of guy that laughs a lot more than Dominik Hasek ever did.
We're trying to get a lot of people are and just sticking on Pekka for a second. A lot of people keep debating why he was pulled after the first period in Game 5. It could have been that he gave up three goals. It could have been that it was, you know, the last goal was 10 seconds in. Understanding the mindset of Peter Laviolette, do you think it could have been potentially him just taking a look at his goalie sitting in the corner? Maybe he was playing too many head games with himself and just deciding that it would have been best to give him this break and allow the team to perhaps get back into the swing of things. What is your take on him being pulled from that game after the first?
I think that was more a case of trying to change the chemistry that was going on at that point in time. I think it was trying to get the guys to think, hey, our big guy just got taken out of there. It's on us. I think that was what the mindset was at that point in time.
Which certainly makes sense. I mean, you're down 3-0 into the first. It seemed like, for the most part, Pittsburgh was all in heading into that first period. So I certainly understand that. Different dynamic now coming into Game 6, where it's you know, effectively a fresh start. Pecorino gets to put that behind him, which he does very well, and certainly rebound and get back into the swing of things. As we're here chatting with Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, here on the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. I don't want to dive too much onto the PK Subban situation. Are we blowing?
Why not? Why not? What are you going to dive into it?
Because I don't know if we're blowing things out of proportion like we usually do, and all this stuff. He doesn't talk to the media again. It sounded like the NHL was going to the Preds and asking them to make him available. The Preds said no, which is totally their right to do so, and that's what they're entitled to do. What is your take on this not talking to the media business in the last couple of games? Are we just reading too much into this? Is it too much?
For the most part, having gone through those crazy four Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills, I think perhaps we are reading a little bit too much into it.
Okay. Just making sure.
That was some experience that I had with them. But
I bet.
And there's no coach Chuck Dickerson in here making hog sounds about the offensive line of the Redskins.
Do you think that the longer we go in the series, we're starting to see the impact of the absence of Ryan Johansson, because Arvidsson and Forsberg really haven't been a force. And you've put a guy on the board here, but I think as this lengthens, do you think that's been impactful here?
I do believe that you can get by with some sort of substitutions in the interim, but long term, when you consider how effective they were during the regular year, it's just almost impossible to replace. So Colton Sissons, the coaching staff is very happy with what he's been able to accomplish. And, Pontus Aubrey coming in as well effectively for the Kevin Fiala substitution there. But as you say, look at those numbers they put together in the regular year. And look what Ryan Johansson accomplished. Maybe he should be the hero for NHL players who have ever had to play against Ryan Kesler.
Sure.
You talk about getting into somebody's head. I think he effectively did that.
Well, Pete Weber, he's about to go to the dryer, get his clothes out for his hopeful trip to Pittsburgh. He'll be in press row with me tonight for Game 6 of the Predators and the Penguins. Pete, thanks again for your time with us on the Fourth Period Live.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the chance.
Man, I'm hearing the music in the background. I'm getting. There you go.
There you go.
So it's pumping up now.
A scene setter for you, Dave.
I know. Got about 5 hours.
Is that a distraction as well?
No, I'm loving it.
See, there's no such thing as a distraction.
There isn't. Not in the Stanley Cup final when you've got 5 hours and 15 minutes to game time. Add another 15 minutes till puck drop. We're about and a half hours away.
Got a Luke Bryan content going.
It's all kinds of things that are happening
inside the arena. Postcards.
So much.
Pops. Is it even? I don't know what this is.
I don't know. There's a lot going on here on a Sunday in the National Hockey League. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back from the program and chat more about the expansion draft and the NHL draft. And all the hoopla surrounding the NHL. This is the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio.
You know what I came for? I'ma throw a bankroll. You ain't got a flex, got your mind on me. Throw it till it's all gone. I don't gotta save no. I can blow a check. Tell me what it's gonna be
when they wanna go. They know all my money show off. I don't ever get it one way. Yeah. Spend it and I get it same day, but hey.
Well, welcome back to the show. It is the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. So much happening.
I just came here for the cake.
I did.
They also gave out candy here in Press Row. It's a gigantic stick with, I don't know what it's called, bang candy. They're really doing it up over here, Dave. They want an everlasting impression to the media of Nashville.
Well, if the team keeps it up, maybe it'll happen again next year.
If a team keeps it up, maybe there'll be a parade here next week. Who knows?
You never know. Imagine that party. Holy smokes.
That would be something.
I think Justin Timberlake lives in town. He'll probably come out for that one. A little Luke Bryan action.
Maybe you can use your freaking fly miles and come back. Oh, that's what you forgotten. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, maybe.
Inside story. Oh, by the way, you know, there's this fair lock on United Airlines. I've already used my miles to book a flight to Pittsburgh Tuesday night. So
that's
I'm covering
good.
All the bases,
you
baby.
Just, we're covering everything. If there's a
I
game seven,
Pittsburgh
we're there.
Six, but I'm covering all the bases. Nothing wrong with a game seven. There you go.
That's it. If it happens, it's happening Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern from PP&G Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. Then NHL Awards the following week on June 21st with the expansion draft as well. And then you got the NHL draft in Chicago on June 23rd and 24th. Just because the Stanley Cup's about to end doesn't mean that the
there's
hoopla.
There's plenty of more things.
And then you get, and then the draft ends, and you get a 5-day window, free agency period window.
Free agent frenzy.
To talk to players, but not about contracts.
Hey, but not about contracts.
I've never understood.
About no state taxes and housing costs.
I don't understand how you get 5 days to start talking to the potential free agents come July 1st, but you can't talk numbers.
No!
Who is actually... Can someone please, if you believe that for a second...
Yes.
That they are not talking any kind of number.
No.
I mean, maybe someone walks in...
Tearing the facilities.
There's a big 8 on the wall.
Going around town.
With an M after it. And an I and an LLION, $8 million. Do you like what's on the wall? Do you like the ambiance in the building?
That's right.
Hey, look at the scoreboard. Look at that.
We can't look. We put an 8 with a 5 after it.
Somebody is making some jokes and gestures.
Mike Hyka brought up Patrick Marleau, but let's talk about his teammate who is also looking for a deal, who tore his MCL and ACL at the end of last year.
He tore everything.
Joe Thornton.
Look, this is a
what do you think happens there, Dave?
The Sharks want to keep him on a 1-year deal. He does not. He wants a 3-year deal from somewhere.
I know, but
this is going to be his last. He feels that he's got 3 years left in him before the end of his playing career. And I mean, I could see it.
He loves that. He loves San Jose. He built a home there. The wife's happy there. I mean, why not just sign a 1-year deal to get back on? And then if you stand up and play well, then just you can sign an extension on a 1-year deal. So just sign it.
Well, if you believe, then vice versa. If the team believes that he's going to be that good, where we're just going to go after 1-year deal after 1-year deal, just sign him for the 3 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dave. Who's giving him a 3-year deal at 38 years old, coming off an MCL ACL tear? Give me the team.
Yarmer Yager got a 2-year deal when he was 97, so now he's a free agent.
You didn't give me the team, though, did you?
Well, I have to decide.
Montreal? No.
Now the Habs, I don't know if they're going 3 years on that one, but I'd have to think about it.
That's the problem. I think Joe should just go back on a 1-year deal and then play. And even Dave, the thing is, before he got hurt, right, he was an 80-point player 2 seasons ago, and last season he was a 50-point player. So I get the Sharks wanting to go 1 year with him coming off an injury, because even before the injury, he wasn't at the productivity level he was 2 seasons ago when they went to the Cup Final.
No, and I can see – well, you look at Jaromir Jagr, his numbers went down and then they went back up and then they're down again. So, I mean, there's...
Yeah, and the team wasn't as good, I get that, but still, that's a big drop. That's a 30-point drop, Dave.
It is. He had 19 goals 2 seasons ago. He had 7 this season. So that's and down...
And thus, you're getting a 1-year deal offering.
But he had 2 assists in 4 playoff games.
Do you know that's me on the base, Dave?
Are you slapping the base?
I'm sitting in with the band right now. So.
You're pretty good.
And a shameless plug. I'll be on with Jonathan Davis at 5:20 Central on Two-Man Advantage later this afternoon. A little scene sitter. I'm sure the arena would be a little louder. Less music, but
maybe. Is Davis going to be dropping any music on that one too? Is he going to be playing like the Yaz little Yaz flute?
Davis is all about Bruce Springsteen. That's all he's about.
Oh, he could. Well, all right. Is he vocals? Is he leading vocals? Is that's what's going to happen?
He's like rhythm guitar. He's not front. No. Let's go, Davis.
So we've got. The Thornton and Marlowe, they're going to get their deals wherever it is. You know, 37, 38 years old, they're going to figure something out. Is Washington going to sign TJ Oshie? Or, I don't know, is he like the top free agent?
Well, we'll see what happens in the next 3 or 4 days with the expansion draft. I mean,
because Steve Karp made a good point there with regards to the UFAs. I could see Vegas talking to Oshie and saying, "Look,
totally.
Man, you're gonna be one of the faces of the franchise right off the bat."
And that's the type of team that George McPhee builds,
right?
Exciting offensive players, right? And not, you know, I mean, eventually he became really good defensively, but yeah, sure, he could be an option there, and he would probably get max dollars. He would probably not max, but he would get the highest offer probably would be from.
You
from
think,
Vegas, yeah, and you can market a team around that guy. He's young. He's good-looking. He had that success in the Olympics in the shootout. Yeah, why not?
56 points in 68 games, 33 goals, 4.175 cap hit. He made $4.5 million in actual salary. You probably see his cap going up to, what, $6.5 million?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a minimum $6 million a year player. He's a 30-goal scorer. Let's go. I mean, graded on a really good team with Nick Backstrom and Kuznetsov as their centers, you know, 1-2, but... And the other thing about Vegas, David, and I know people talking about gathering assets and keeping low and playing, trying to play for, you know, big time free agents. They got to put some recognizable names on that team, Dave. I'm sorry. I mean, this team is not going to win 43 games in the first year. They're going to have to put a somewhat competitive product, but something that can resonate with fans. Like, I know this guy. This guy did something. You can't be all. You can't draft Trevor Lewis and Philip Grubauer and nondescript players,
right,
and think you can market the team in that market. I'm sorry, with the Raiders coming in. So I got to think there are. And I know George originally had said he's not going to grab some big contracts, but then he went back on that because I think he knows, Dave, you got to have some leadership in that room, right? And leadership isn't usually cheap. It's usually established players who are on long-term contracts, like a Dustin Brown. I know we go around and around on Dustin Brown. And it may not be him, but again, I got to think that at least two or three of these players are going to be recognizable and hopefully guys that have rings that can just instill a culture here in a team that hasn't played one game yet.
Well, the Golden Knights have $68.5 million in cap space right now, so they certainly
Let's
have
Let's go, then. Come on. I'm available for $2 million. I'll play fourth line now.
Oh, you get fourth line. That's fine. I'll be the seventh D. I'll do like 1.2. I'm good with that.
1.2. Wow, you're going cheap.
It's U.S. I live
in
Canada.
I'm going to call Paprasol and get you in with him, and hopefully he can boost up your price.
Yeah, boost me up to 1.5.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
1.5.
That's 2 million Canadian. I'm good with that.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Tax-free in Nevada. I'll stay down there, play.
That's right.
You know, I'll be a 7th D, so I'm not going to get that much ice time.
You live in Summerlin on the golf course. I'll be a pool in the backyard. It's beautiful.
I'll be at Encore Beach Club most of the time anyway.
Okay.
Just like we'll be during the NHL Awards.
We will be.
Yes, that'll be another fun time coming up.
We're going to invade that town. It's going to be not pretty.
It's going to be good, everything going on there. It's going to be good tonight. Game six. Happening here on the program between Nashville and Pittsburgh. Big thanks to Sean McKenzie, Aaron Portsline, Steve Karp, Mike Heike, and Pete Weber for joining us on the program. Mateo behind the desk right there. That's Dennis. I'm Dave. This has been the Fourth Period Live on NHL Network Radio. Don't forget, Dennis will be coming back at you here on Two Man Advantage with Jonathan Davis later on.
Live from Nashville.
Afternoon. Yeehaw, indeed. Get some barbecue. Get some booze. It's time for Game 6 coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern. Enjoy the game, everybody.